Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, it was good over here last week with the Due Time with Pastor Steph as we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our relationship topic and the Due Time crew. Well, we continued that conversation of boundaries. You know, what do we do when our spouse's family is ruining the relationship? Oh, we put those boundaries in order, right? Right. We also work as a team. That's what we do. Because if they see us as a team, they will not and they cannot come in between you and your spouse. Okay? What about be wise and subtle in your response? Yes, learn to communicate with them. You know, a lot of times it's about them not knowing you and you not knowing them. And, you know, they've built all of these thoughts in their head about who you are. And if you communicate properly, then you'll get an opportunity to show them that you are not who they thought you were. Okay? Those are just some of the things that we discussed last week. And we had our first switch tip of the week, number 86, with Shanti. Get rid of those titles. Oh, my goodness. I ended up walking into something like this, and I was so shocked. There was an apology given, but, you know, I didn't even remember the switch tip when the conversation took place. And, you know, I just give God thanks that, you know, we all take some bruises and some bumps, you know, especially those of us. And I'm talking about us female ministers. You know, I've heard females are not supposed to be pastors. I heard that females are not supposed to be bishops. I heard females are supposed to stay barefoot and pregnant. I've heard females are only supposed to be this, or females are only supposed to do that. And, you know, I'm so glad that I have just grasped onto who God says that Stephanie is. You know, you hear me a lot of times tell, listen, when I'm at JCPenney, I'm just plain old Stephanie. I don't feel no disrespect. I don't feel all twisted. Please do not yell at me from Walmart. Pastor Steph, I'm Stephanie. And it's not because I'm ashamed of who I am. It's not because I don't know who I am. It's not because I feel any disrespect. But I'm playing on Stephanie. Now, if we're talking about the pulpit or on the broadcast or, you know, we're doing something in the church arena, then by all means, I want to be called Pastor Steph because that's where we are. You know, I don't walk in on the surgeon and say, hey, James, how you doing? No, when I'm under his care, he is Dr. So-and-so. She is Dr. So-and-so. And, you know, a lot of times because we've been so slighted, we've been disrespected, we've been, you know, disregarded, you know, we got to stand up for ourselves and we got to let people know who we are and things like that. Let's just be careful that we are not so twisted that we lose sight of where the battle really is. Okay? All right. I was just like a little twisted when I thought about this switch tip and the experience that I had. And, you know, I just got to pray. I just have to pray and ask God to just cover, you know, our insecurities and cover, you know, us keeping in mind who God said we are, who God said we are, you know. We're going to do a segment on something about that topic. Okay. Well, that's how we finished off our Monday. Get rid of those titles, okay? All right. Well, Tuesday rolled around. Let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And we got to talking about our Devon Franklin, who is a pastor, leader, counselor, and his wife, actress Megan Good, and the fact that they are calling an end to their 9 years of marriage. And we focus on a statement that was put out there. Now, whether it was put out there by them, or the publicist, or an agent, or whoever. You know, we got to be real careful. Listen, we got those titles. And if we've got those titles, we're going to have to walk a certain way. And we started breaking down and dissecting this note and this statement that they put out there. Does it really parallel itself to what God wants from us? Are we setting a good example? Yeah, we have to think about this thing. We can't just be going about this all willy-nilly, as they say. No, we got to understand that once we hold these titles, we have to walk a certain way. We have to talk a certain way because people are watching us at all times. Okay? All right. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we talked to our girl Vivian and our socially conscious segment she gave us, and she talked about those COVID numbers that have gone up and away. What in the world is going on? And I pray that this week numbers are looking a little more friendly. Yes. And we've got this new thing. I did come across it in the news as I was going through the news for the broadcast. This flu-rona. Yes, that's the flu. Coronavirus. MERS. Yes, you've got flu and the COVID. And, man, it's got to be a mess on your body. Okay? Yeah, well, that sex trafficking ring out in New Orleans has been smashed as they found 5 missing girls and busted 30 people, the sex offenders, who snatched them up and held them hostage. Well, we're so happy that has been, you know, smashed. And, you know, hopefully we'll have more of that coming through. Well, our women of worship, they did their thing last week as we talked about, you know, all the toxic indicators of, or within the relationship. Yeah. You know, when you first start out that relationship and all those little toxic things you do, oh, what about that possessive behavior that you put out there and people think, oh, it's so cute. You know, she loves me or he loves me. You can't have no friends. You can't talk to your family. No, that's not love. That's obsession. And it is abuse. And we ain't got no business dealing with it. Okay? What about so early? Oh, God told you God told me that he's my husband and I want to have his baby. Yes, we actually go through that. You know, give God thanks if you kind of get those indicator alarms that go off inside of you, because A, a lot of people don't get them, and B, those who get them sometimes, man, they turn the other cheek. They're looking the other way. What are you doing? You know, we really gotta take God's message and run. Run, and run again. Run again, and then run again. Because that's the only way you're gonna get out of the way of these crazy, toxic people. Okay? Alrighty. Well, we close down Wednesday with our Faith Over Fear segment, and Pastor Charlene Beard did a fantastic job, as always, closing out our Wild Wednesday. Well, Thursday rolls around, and oh, did we have to do it from the headlines. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, as I was looking through the news, I initially was not going to do it from the headlines. But you know what? You know, it's really sad because, you know, you can't make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. You talked about the two deputies that took their own lives, the husband and the wife team, who the husband committed suicide. He stayed on life support for a little while. And then when he died, the wife committed suicide. And they left a brand new baby. So brand new that they hadn't even shared the baby's name before they killed themselves. What kind of mess is that? What kind of mess is that? And what about the lady, the 82-year-old grandma, who, you know, all she wanted was a little card game. She did ask her, you know, card-friendly friends, you know, have you been vaccinated, because I want to get a card game together. And one of the card players lied and said she was vaccinated. She wasn't. She actually had COVID, passed COVID on to grandma, and grandma is no longer here to play another card game because you were so selfish. Yeah. That's how it went down. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, we really got to rethink this selfishness that's going on. Yes. Oh, well, Friday. Freestyle Friday rolled around. We talked about obstacles, overcoming obstacles with our men and our men of warfare. Oh, they sent us into a wonderful weekend as they talked about overcoming the obstacles of the lack of support. You know, what do you do when you don't have that support system that you were expecting to have? And what about when you have the wrong relationship in your life, or the wrong relationships in your life? You know, generally people have a habit of just constantly pulling in toxic relationships. It's not just one relationship, not just one. And they get buried under being around the wrong people. Well, we talked about getting rid of the distractions. How do you overcome the obstacle of distractions? Well, our men gave us a fantastic remedy for each of these obstacles. And if I were you, I'd take the moment to go back and listen. Yes. Listen not just to Friday, but to Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Monday. And get your fill of the week. Okay? All right. Well, today is Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. We are at it again. It is the top of the week, and we're starting off our week on high from last night's prayer. Yes, we prayed for those who don't know Jesus. Yes, and not only did we pray for those who don't know Jesus, but we prayed for those of us and the people we know that need a closer walk with Jesus. Oh, it was on fire last night, as I love to say. You know, I love the prayer requests. They really incite and ignite prayer inside of Pastor Steph. Yes, once I start reading those prayer requests and how detailed they are and how people are just petitioning for all different kinds of things and all the different people, all my insides start getting stirred up and the prayer takes place. And I have a good time with the Lord and with you, holding hands and holding hearts. And that launches me now for the 12th week into Shaking the Monday Morning Blues. Well, today we are starting a brand new week with the Due Time crew. And yes, we got our relationship conversation that you don't want to miss. You just might, you know, you just might have something in your mind that goes along, okay, with what we're talking about. But before we get started with our Monday morning, we are going to take a break. So I'm going to give you that chance to go get that healthy breakfast. I'm going to give you that chance to go and text and call a friend and let them know that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And I want to remind you not to go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
January is National Stalking Awareness Month.
Did you know nearly 1 in 6 women and 1 in 17 men have experienced stalking at some point in their lifetime?
Stalking is defined as engaging in a course of conduct directed at a specific person that will cause a reasonable person to feel fear for their own safety or cause them to suffer substantial emotional distress.
Stalking victims often feel scared, angry, annoyed, isolated, and/or confused.
The majority of stalking victims are stalked by someone they know. Many victims are stalked by a current or former intimate partner or by an acquaintance.
Stalking can include electronic forms of communication, including texting or social media.
Stalking in any form is not okay. It is a crime in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories.
If you feel you may be a victim of stalking, have questions, or need to make a report, contact FSCJ Security or the Title IX office. If you are in imminent danger, call 911 or the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday Morning Blues. Well, as you just heard, if you did not know, this January. It's National Stalking Awareness Month. And, you know, it's prevalent. It's prevalent whether you're being stalked physically or whether you're being stalked by a cyber attack. You know, it's no joke, and it's rather scary. And, you know, if you find that you are being stalked, please don't hesitate to alert the authorities, because many people have lost their lives or have been terrorized by these wackos. You know, people have become obsessed with who you are, and, you know, it's no joke. It's nothing to underestimate. And, you know, we want to help you understand that you can get help. Okay? All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. God has brought us safely through the weekend. And we're about to get our morning started. Are you ready? I sure am. Well. I want to give you a little piece of information that you might be interested in. And even if you're not, you need to know this stuff, okay? We're talking about the fresh produce that you really should wash before eating. Yeah. Yeah, I know sometimes, you know, you think that, you know, just rinsing it off is good enough. But, no, we're talking about really getting in a good wash, because you'll find out. Well, we're talking about the homegrown herbs. Our parsley, the sage, the thyme, the basil. You know, the things that we grow, you know, more people are beginning to grow these things in their own backyard and or in your window or wherever you're growing them. And if you've decided to grow these things, be aware that you need to take the time to wash them, even if you have grown them yourself. Yes. Don't underestimate the fact that they need to be cleaned properly, okay? Now, iceberg lettuce. Yeah, you know the lettuce that you put on your sandwich? Yes. They say take those leaves apart, get in those wedges, and I mean scrub, really wash them well under some cool running water. And gently pat it dry, set it on the side, and let them dry nicely, and you know that they're clean. Listen, I'm not above taking a little dishwashing liquid and washing it in between my hands. Yes, yes. Rinse it off. You know, rinse it off. Water for? Rinse it off. Mushrooms. They say it's a common myth that mushrooms shouldn't be washed because they'll absorb, you know, all that water. They say it's not true, that mushrooms actually absorb very little water because they are 90% water already, okay? They say get in there and do some scrubbing. Rub them well. Get underneath those little buds, you know, little flower-looking thing on the top. Get up in there and scrub well to get them clean. They take a nice towel and pat them dry, and they are good to go. Cabbage. Okay. They say that, you know, a lot of people figure, oh, these outer leaves are not going to be eaten, so why wash them? They said, worms and other insects could be inside your cabbage. Ooh, baby. So they say, remove those thick outer leaves, cut the cabbage into wedges, and rinse them well in a colander. Yeah, you know, the thing that you put your spaghetti in. Yeah, the pasta with all the holes. Yes. Yeah, so it can run straight through. Okay? They say shake those leaves or those little wedges dry the best that you can. Again, lay them on a towel to remove the additional moisture. Kiwi. Ooh. The fuzzy skin. They say most people, you know, cut that off. But it's full of fiber and vitamin C. They say keeping the skin on also makes it easier for snacking. And it's good, actually. Now, I've never eaten the skin of a kiwi. But they say to make sure you wash it well under some running water, cool water, and drying it with a paper towel. Now, again, I'm not against above taking just a little dishwasher liquid and getting it in there. Yes, I wash I even, if I'm cutting into a watermelon, yes, I get that soap and that dishwasher liquid and I'll wash it. Any fruit that I'm cutting into, such as cantaloupe, yeah, because remember now, if the outside isn't clean and you take that knife, you're pushing those germs straight into your fruit. So listen, I wash almost everything with just a little dishwasher liquid. Yes, I wash my, what do you call those things? The green, the peppers. Yes, everything. So please do not forget to take the time to wash your fruit and vegetables, okay? Make sure you get up in there, all right? All right. So what are we talking about today? Let's see. I came across some news. Well, let's go back a little bit. I'm trying to figure out where do I start. Let's go back a little bit. You know, Vivian brought us about a month or so ago about the Michigan school shooting from the young man. Remember the young man? And they, for the first time, we heard that they are now charging the parents for, you know, his shooting. Yeah. Well, I actually came across an article, and man, some stuff was in that article that I was not expecting to see. And the 15-year-old, they say, videotaped himself torturing animals. He made Molotov cocktails at home and drew a sketch of himself shooting up the school in his journal. Yeah. Yeah. And remember now, he ended up killing 4 students and a teacher. And they were saying that certain revelations about this teen and his behavior came up months earlier. Okay? And his parents, again, have been charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter. And they're accused of allowing their son access to the 9mm handgun he allegedly used to massacre his classmates and ignoring the key warning signs before the attack. Well, this is why they need to go to jail. They say that in the year that he had texted his mother with the fact that he was seeing demons and ghosts in the house, and he sent this to her several times, and she replied like hours later. They say that he also bought a Nazi coin on Amazon that he displayed in his room, and he drew Nazi symbols in a notebook that was shared by all the family members of the house, that he repeatedly informed his parents that he was hallucinating and that he was demonstrating some tendencies that they should have found worrisome. Yes. They said that, are you ready for this? This is the part that blew me away. They said that the father, who's 45 years old, purchased that gun on Black Friday as an early Christmas present for the teen. Ready? How in the world do you buy a 15-year-old a gun for Christmas? And they say that like Vivian told us, when the school was complaining about him, they did not do anything about it. And they had drawings of violent sketches of him. And he had on social media, it looks like Instagram, 4 days earlier. So just got my new baby today. A 9mm, ask any questions, I will answer. Oh, yeah, they need to go to jail. Yeah, they need to go to jail. The judge refused to lower their bond, and they said no because she considered them a flight risk. And she said that the case was way too serious to even consider. Consider lowering their bond, because lowering their bond would probably enable them to make bond. And she said no. She said absolutely not. Well, the children, of course, now they're starting back classes today, and they are now forced to wear clear backpacks when they return to school. Yeah. They're not taking any chances. They are not taking any chances. All right. Are you ready for this one? They have a Florida couple who abducted a man and tortured him for 3 days. Yes. Now, this is a really weird story because it's a man and a woman, and they both have the same last name, and they're saying that they're not too sure how they are related. So Marie, I think his name is Akius. I don't know. Let's call him Akius. That's what we're going to call him today. They they're being charged with kidnapping some strange man. They say that, you know, she walked up to the man and coerced him into coming into the home. Once he got in the home, they started torturing this man day by day. And they said that they told him if he went to the bathroom that they would make him eat it. And if he refused, they were just going to shoot him. And they said on the second day, they said they offered him food, but he refused to eat because he was afraid that it would make him go to the bathroom. And they were, they chained him and they demanded $50,000 cash, as well as the title to his car. On the third day, sounds like the 12 days of Christmas, right? On the third day, they say that they forced him to shower at gunpoint, and then they drove him in his car to a location where they set him free. But before they let him go, they forced him to drink from a container filled with bleach and Haitian rum, and he ended up passing out. He woke up about a half hour later, and he ran for help. And somehow or another, they tracked this couple down, and they arrested them, and they appeared in court in Miami last week, and they are being charged with kidnapping, attempted murder, after they made him drink this bleach and threatened to kill him. Now, they said that they could not figure out quite why they targeted this man, why they put him through all of this. You know what? You know, we always talk about this mental. These people are sick in this world. They said she just walked up to him and, you know, she asked him, you know, come on up to the house. And he first kind of, you know, he was like, no. But then she continued to, you know, ask him and invite him and told him he had nothing to worry about and that she was married. So that was really weird. And she told him that although she was married, her husband was away. And he went up to the house. And when he got up there, you know, that's when all of this took place. They pulled out a gun and they began this 3 days of kidnapping and torture. It's like, why? Are people just getting bored? Is that what's happening? They're just getting bored and they're running out of things to do? I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Well, first of all, you don't know this person. You don't know this person, and this person invites you to their house. Why are you going? Why are you going? I don't know you. Am I going with you? This is what happens when he goes up there to the person's house. Woo! Here's one for the books. Who suspects that her child is COVID positive. And she takes him to a drive-thru site to get tested. Well, she takes him in the car. Drive-thru. But she puts him in the trunk. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Here's what happens. So, mom, I think he did like an at-home test. Test came up positive. There's a site, a drive-thru site. She's a teacher that the school has put together. Yes. And she wants to take him there to verify that it's done. You know, that the positive test is actually positive. But to make sure she does it from him, she takes her 13-year-old son and she puts him in the trunk. Well, when she gets to the testing site, this idiot doesn't take them out of the trunk. The witnesses say they heard this noise coming from the back of her car and from the trunk. So they ask her, what's going on back here? Please open up this trunk. And when she opened up the trunk, her son was lying down in the back of the car, and she explains to them, listen, he tested COVID positive. I don't want to get it. So I put him back in the I put him in the trunk to ensure that I don't get sick. I told her, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're going to have to take him out. If you want to be tested, if we're going to test him, you're going to have to take him out, put him in the back, you know, the back seat of the car, and While she was waiting, they called the cops, and she was arrested. And she's suspended from her job as a teacher. Yes. She's been placed on administrative leave. Now, I know you might be fearful of getting COVID. I know you might be a little nervous because you don't know how, you know, this is going to affect you. But do we go to these lengths? You put your son in a trunk to ensure that he doesn't infect you. And you know what? You know what I'm getting ready to say? You know what side of the fence this was on. Because you know good and well it wouldn't be none of my... I could never. My three. Listen, I can't even get them to shut up when they mouthing off. Shut up. I'm a slap in your mouth. That don't even work. They keep on talking. They're not getting in nobody's trunk. Goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. What are we going to do with these parents? You know, I've been saying for quite some time as we've been covering these stories, you know, that the parents are the ones who are really, really, you know, really the ones that we have to really look out for. And it's so sad. It's so sad because, you know, really, what are you going to do when you can't even get past the parents? What are you going to do when you can't even get past the parents? We're worrying about coaches. We're worrying about strangers. We're worrying about all these different people, you know, attacking children. And we have to be afraid for us, for against the parents. How do you save your children from their parents? How do you do this? Do you save your children from their parents? They're the biggest perpetrators these days. We've read stories about, you know, them killing the small children, them killing the adult children, them killing the teenage children. These kids don't stand a chance. I don't know. Let's talk to the Due Time crew. Maybe they can offer us some kind of suggestion as to how we're going to deal with these people. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's say good morning to the ladies first because they were on board early. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing good.
Ooh, that's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear. Giving God thanks that you're feeling well. Were you a part of the Word Prayer Project last night?
I was indeed. I was so happy to be on.
Amen. Amen. I pray that you had a blessed experience. We were praying for those who don't know the Lord. What's that? Well, why do you think it's important to pray for something like that?
You know, a lot of times, especially when you don't have the Lord, and we've often said it many times, is you look for other vices, you know, and there's so many different things that can attract your attention, but they're just distractions, you know, and none of it leads to any good. And so somebody has to be able to pray for those who are currently not praying for themselves or anyone else.
Amen, amen, amen. So glad that you were able to join us and you understand how vital it is to just lift up those who don't know the Lord. You know, that's the majority of this world. You know, the people that don't know the Lord. And it really aids to our news, doesn't it?
It really does, in more ways than I can even put a number to.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking about, let's see, that student, the student that Vivian brought our attention to a couple of months ago, you know, when, you know, the parents were also being charged with manslaughter because they ignored all the signs that their son needed help and the school really reached out to them and they did nothing. Well, today we're reading that, you know, he talked to his mother about hallucinating several times. He saw ghosts and demons. She ignored him. And the father actually purchased the gun. See, all this time I've been reading about the different the different news stories, and they've been talking about, you know, he got a hold to the gun. They, you know, but that's not the truth. The truth comes out in this article that he actually bought the gun on Black Friday for the son on Instagram, telling people, you know what, if you got questions, I'll answer. What the parents are destroying our children.
You know, and that's why it's beneficial to select, you know, and decide whether you have what God needs for you to have for your children, because I mean these stories are outrageously crazy, you know, and for you to see the signs, you know, it's evident. The child is telling you they're seeing hallucinations, they're hearing things, you know, and anything like that, and then you after on top of all of that purchase a gun and say here's a gift to you, you might as well just you know, it's kind of like, you know, giving them the ammunition to end their lives, because basically it's over for him, you know, and it's over for you too, I guess, you know, because you didn't think about that. You figured, oh well, it's just one situation, but oh my gosh, you know, it's just crazy.
Absolutely. You know, what more do, you know, as a parent, what more do you want from your child than for them to actually tell you when something's wrong? That, to me, is a gift. You know, a lot of kids clam up. You know, they don't tell you stuff, and you're constantly prodding and picking, and you're drilling, and you're asking, and you're begging them to talk to you. And here you have a kid that's actually saying something to you, and this is how you respond. You don't respond. You got one parent who doesn't respond, and you got the other parent who's buying the gun. What kind of madness is this? Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
Right, and what happens to prayer or therapy or taking them to counseling?
Absolutely.
None of that. You decided the thing to put the money on is a gun.
Absolutely. Which, you know what, which is, I'm so glad we finally have a judge that's addressing the bigger picture, and she's saying, because you as a parent, you put the gun in his hand, you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to jail too. Very good. I'm so glad we've got a judge who's willing to stand up and really hold somebody responsible for this kid and his behavior and his actions. Oh, my goodness. All right, Tamika. You've got the gentleman who gets coerced into going up to this woman's apartment, and for 3 days he's kidnapped and tortured. I don't mean to laugh, but it's like, you know what? You know, you got one day, you know, they're telling him that if you want to go to the bathroom, you know, go ahead. But if you do, we're going to make you eat it. And if you don't eat it, we're going to shoot you. On the second day, they offered him food, but he refused to eat it because he was too afraid that he had to go to the bathroom. So they end up chaining him and demanding $50,000 in cash, as well as the title to his car. And on the third day, driven to a location after being made to take a shower at gunpoint. They took him to the location and made him drink from a container that was filled with bleach and Haitian rum. He passes out, wakes up a half hour later, and flees, and he goes and gets help. Please, what goes through your head when you hear this story?
This is why we pray. This is exactly why we pray on Sunday. I mean, just where in the world, who comes up with these things and why? You know, why torture a person you don't know anything about? What is the end result? And usually when somebody captures you like that, the end result usually is death. So I'm grateful that he was able to get away. But the torture, you know, the ordeal of what he might have been going through every second of those 3 days. You know, of course my heart goes out to him. You know, you're scared to go to the bathroom. You're scared that, okay, what else are they going to do? You know, you're chained. What in the world, you know? And why? You know, were you that enticed by this individual? Was she that pretty? What was it that made you decide, okay, I'm going to follow you into an environment? I guess you felt comfortable because she was a female. Most likely she was probably the enticement. And you got in the door, and now, 3 days later, oh, my gosh.
Isn't that something? I bet you he won't follow a stranger again.
Exactly.
I bet you won't follow a stranger again. And for the record, no. The answer to your question, no. She looks hard. She looks angry. She looks angry. No. There's very little about this picture that says I'm enticing. No, she ain't have on no bikini. She ain't have on no sexy dress. No. Unfortunately, no. Oh, my goodness gracious, Tamika. And last, we're talking about this Texas mom who's so afraid that she's going to catch COVID from her son, 13-year-old son, that she puts him in the trunk and takes him to go get tested. Oh, I can't take it. These parents are killing these kids. I can't, you know, it's amazing. You put your son in the trunk? That's what we're doing now?
I guess that's the new preventive measure. I have absolutely no idea why you would put your baby in the trunk. I don't care if he is 13. The trunk, you couldn't get an extra mask. You could have stopped at the store and got a double mask or, you know, done something. But the trunk, you could have put him in the back seat. The trunk, really, lady? I just don't get it.
Yeah, and I say we know what side of the fence we on, because I can't imagine one of us telling our kids, get in the trunk, and they're actually following that order. I don't think so.
You know, I think it's one of those situations kind of like he was trying to be biblical, you know, when Abraham told his son that we're going to sacrifice you. Maybe that's what he was thinking. He was trying to be obedient, even unto death.
I guess. And you know what's funny? That's what I envision. Not like Abraham, but like mom said, get in the trunk. You know, just let's be safe. You know, you don't want to infect mom, do you? Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tamika. We'll be back and talk about some other stuff later. Oh, let's talk to our pastor, Charlene. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph, and good morning to everyone. How are you today?
Well, thank you. I'm well. How you doing over there?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay, my dear.
All righty. Oh, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about all this Michigan family with the son who we later find out, told his mother that, you know, he was seeing demons and he was hallucinating and You know, nobody paid him any attention. You know, this is stuff, Pastor Charlotte, that the school wasn't even aware of. He went to the school and he did whatever he did and said whatever he said in the school, and they alerted the parents. The parents ignored the school, and then the young man showed up, you know, with the gun, killing the four, you know, students and the teacher. And now we find out that this was a gift that was bought for him for Christmas, and that he was flashing it on Instagram. And, you know, so now we find out that the parents are even more negligent than we initially thought. Well, what goes through your head when you think about stuff like this?
My thought was that, and you're so right, we're so busy looking at the outside of people, of all of these stories that we're hearing about the children and the parents, we miss are the ones that's sitting on the inside that is teaching them. For a child to tell you and for the teachers to alert you, then where were your parenthood? So y'all thought that it was okay because he wasn't going to kill y'all, but he wanted to kill everybody else. See, and where that you bought the gun for him, you said it's okay for you to shoot. But one thing that little Johnny, I don't want you to do now is remember that we your parents and we love you. You know, so you letting him target everybody else instead of being able to do. I think they should go not under the jail for what they have done, because they allowed him, instead of taking him to go seek some help, you know. But then I thought about it as well, as they probably had a problem too. If you thought that it was okay, then you might have had an issue yourself.
Pastor Charlene, if you bought your son a gun for Christmas, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You bought your son a 9mm gun for Christmas, you have a problem. Big problem. You're absolutely right. They have problems. They have problems. Oh, my gosh.
But I mean, like, hearing things as well. I mean that as well.
Right.
You know, because,
right,
you know, like, the hunt, when people do hunting, they get those guns for their children as well, because, you know, they go and do the little hunt, you know. But I mean, as far as, you're right, not for him to buy the gun as well, but meaning mental stages as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Your child is telling you that he's seeing demons and he's hallucinating, and you don't take your son to get help, you have problems as well. All of these things, all of their negligence, really indicates that they have problems also. They also have problems. All right, Pastor Sean. You have the man that follows the woman up into her house, and he spends 3 days of hell thereafter. Did he get what he asked for?
No, that's not what he asked for, but she knew who to go to. You know, when people are shouting out, folks, they watch how you react. So he was probably a little timid. You know, he could have been weird that, where was he coming out of? You know, to watch. They might have been watching him for a little bit. You know, and then he lured her up, and he just felt some kind of way, and he thought that, you know, it was just going to be a little thing going on. But my thought was, don't you watch the movies? Don't they show you how when the woman lures you in and somebody be in the room or somebody come through the door? We see too many of the movies.
Man, Pastor Charlene, yes. There's too many movies that we look at, too many shows we look at. When I read this article, there is nothing that says that she knew that he had ever seen her before or anything. It says she invited him upstairs, but initially he declined, and she insisted and told him she was married, but the husband was away. And you went up there. And I'm trying to figure out how much more did you think was right. First of all, she's saying the husband is away. How long he going to be away? You don't even know. So what would have happened had this been, you know, what she really said, and you went up in the house, and then he walked in on y'all. And you can't even say you knew this woman.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't know. People fly out the window, walk on the ledge. They better do something. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what kind of husband you have. I'm telling you, but we thank God that he's alive. Mm-hmm. We do. We truly thank God that he's alive because it could have went another way.
Absolutely. Especially when you're made to drink a container that was filled with bleach and Haitian rum. So maybe the strength of the rum killed the effect of the bleach. But, no, there's a lot that he needs to be grateful for because that was definitely 3 days of had it been in the hands of another set of people, he would have been dead. They would have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
They would have definitely killed him. All right, Pastor Charlotte, you don't want to catch COVID from your children, so you put them in the trunk. Take them to the testing site. You don't even take them out the car before you even get up to the window. You so sure that it's okay. You don't even care that somebody else knew what you did. What is happening?
Well, my children would have kicked that back seat open. You know, our children would have did all that. By the time we got up in here, they would have been driving the car.
Man, Pastor Charlotte, we wouldn't had an opportunity to get our kids in there.
Man, exactly.
I want to put my kids in the trunk for more than that.
Okay. Stop crying. Get in that trunk.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
But
and she's
it's so
teacher.
Sad, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That was my thought.
Absolutely.
My thought was that here's another teacher that we put our children.
Yep.
So if she did that to her children, is our children in the closet? Is our children in the bottom of a cabinet? Make you think, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what did come to my mind. I said the same thing. I'm like, here we go, another teacher. For the past few weeks, we've been covering all this heinous behavior by the teachers. Our kids are not safe. They're not safe. They're not safe at all. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlotte. And we'll definitely be back to talk again. We're going to say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Hey, good morning. Hey, come back to me last. I'm dismissing the kids, so come back to me.
All righty. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, all. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you today?
All right, all right. I dismissed the kids already. They all gone.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for getting that done before we got to you. All Pastor KL, we're talking about, you know, we're going back to the story that Vivian first gave us a month or so ago and, you know, really reading a new level of information such as, you know, this young man, you know, was complaining and informing his mother that he was seeing demons, he was hallucinating, that he left drawings of killing the children. The Nazi pictures and things like that he left, you know, the coin, the Nazi coin that he had, all the indicators that there was something really, really going wrong. And on top of that, Dad takes the time to buy on Black Friday a 9mm handgun for the son as a Christmas present. Is this not a recipe for disaster or what?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely stupid. I mean, that's crazy. Who was he supposed to be protecting? The demons that was possessing him? I mean, we'd have had an exorcist or something. You know, we'd have went to the church. We would have went to the altar. We would have tarried until he saw Jesus. You know, I just don't understand. he's telling you, he's giving you every sign that he's one French fry short of a Happy Meal, and now you're giving him a gun to go with it. What you just supersize this problem? There's an issue right there. There is an issue right there. I mean, that would have been the last thing to do to validate his craziness. Because that's what you did. You validated his craziness. You gave him a gun to protect himself from himself. It's crazy.
Now, here's the thing. You know, I'm looking here, and it says that the parents have been charged with, the parents have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. My thing is, they need to be charged with straight up murder.
I mean, there's so many charges, you know, straight up murder. But also, I mean, the first charge you should have been charged with is child endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
You put your child in a precarious position. You know, I'm not understanding. Wait, first of all, the father should have been charged for insanity because I don't know what he was thinking about. So apparently he needed to be checked out. You know, first of all, because I don't know why you thought that was a good idea. You know, I would like to know, or I would like to hear his thought behind why he bought a child a gun after his child said, hey, I'm going crazy. These demons are taking over. And then you got demons who's possessing you and who's speaking to you. Who's to say that the demons don't tell you to kill my behind? So I give you the tools to kill me? Oh, no. No.
Right, because or kill himself. Or to kill himself.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't, again, like you said, what was your thought when you decided to go and purchase this gun and give it to him as a gift? What did you think he was going to do with it? Did you have a conversation and say, okay, you know what, I'm giving you this gun because, or whatever. Like you said, I'm really puzzled as to know and curious to know what in the world did you think he was going to do with this gun once you gave it to him? All right. You know, you talk a lot about in your former life, here's a man who meets a woman who invites you or up to her apartment. You say no. She insists. You go. And you spend the next 3 days in literal hell. What? What makes men do things like this?
Well, first of all, I think the man from the first case is the same man because you said this chick wasn't that cute. Listen, you said she wasn't that cute, so he was hallucinating. He had to be hallucinating. He had to think that she was really cute or that something really nice was going to come. He had to listen, the demon must have told him, hey, go to the house. You won't be all right. Go up there. And then he got literally pure hell.
Yeah.
You know, listen.
3 days of
hell. I think the three boys said it the best when he said, never trust a big butt and a smile. That's going to be a problem for you. That's going to be a problem for you. That is going to... And then they said it's poison. So he got poison. He got. I won't say he got what he deserved, but I bet you he won't follow another woman again.
That's right.
I bet you start asking questions. Not an ugly woman anyway. Listen, if I'm going to get poisoned and beat, it ain't going to be behind an ugly woman. It ain't. It's just not. It ain't worth the risk.
You know, I'm looking at this picture of this woman, and I ain't going to say she ugly. But in other words, there is really nothing that what you know men to really go for. You know what I'm saying? Like that would immediately catch your eye, you know, that you see, you know, that's really tantalizing to the eye. I'm like, you followed. Wow, she looks mean. She doesn't look inviting. She doesn't look engaging. It's like she looks mean and hard. I'm like, why would you go with her anywhere? But whatever the reason is, you know, you actually make your move, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, did they turn your world upside down.
After the police see the woman, they're not even going to investigate. They're going to say it's your fault. You deserve that. they're not going to play with that. There's no motive behind that. There's no reason behind that. You can't even give the benefit of the doubt behind that.
Please
ain't wasting time with that one.
She looks rough and hard, and I'm looking at it, I'm scratching my own head trying to figure out why. All right, Pastor KL, you got the mother who's terrified of getting COVID, so if a child in the trunk of a car takes them for a COVID test, would your kids get in the back of that car? Would they get in the trunk?
Nah. You know what? Let me tell you something. I used to drive my kids, and they'd be in the back seat touching each other. Stop touching me. And I used to threaten them. I'm going to put one of y'all in the trunk so can't nobody touch nobody. But I didn't know people really put people in the trunk. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm kind of mad that I didn't do that the first time. You know, people do it. Because, you know, everybody touching you, they drink my thing, they touch my thing. I should have separated them and put one in the trunk.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I remember those days. Don't stay close to me. Your arm is on me. This is
right.
My book. She has my name. Oh, you're right. Definitely trunk headquarters.
Nobody
man.
Touched nobody.
Right, you ain't got to worry about nothing. And, you know, I always had a big car. So one would be in the front, one would be in the middle, and one would be in that back seat. That's the stuff I mean. Everybody's just wrong. Everybody had their own chair. Nobody touching nobody. Oh, my goodness, but you're so right. You know, we missed a golden opportunity because I'm going to tell you something. They arrested her, but we would have a whole lot more charges put on us if they found us with our child in the trunk. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for joining us today, Pastor KL. We'll be back to talk. Let's see if Brother Paul is ready for us now. Are you ready for us?
There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, God said, for I know the plan I have for you. So let him do what he do. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Your father, Pastor Sam, I said, good morning.
That's why you couldn't say good morning before, because you couldn't go through that whole soliloquy.
I was just sitting between those stairs.
Oh, it's good to have you with us, Brother Al. It's good to have you.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you didn't heard all the descriptions, all the chatter. What's going on with your Michigan family who just is handing over guns for Christmas presents?
First of all, speaking of that alone, we know what side of the fence they're on. That's number one. And I think the parents messed around and watched that movie Ghostbusters. So when he said that he saw a ghost and demons, it's like, okay, we got something for that. You know, but, I mean, that's insane. And that, you know, that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, the young man is already reaching out. He's telling you, hey, I'm seeing demons. I'm seeing this. I'm like Pastor KL. You know what? You seeing demons and stuff? Come with me. I'm going to take it to the church. I'm going to baptize at least 20, 30 times. He's going to be like, I can't breathe. Shut up. We're going down in the name of Jesus. Come back up. In the name of Jesus. We're going to keep jumping him until he don't see those demons no more.
Yeah. You know, Brother Al, you know, one of the things that we have problems with is our children talking to us. And here you have a child who's actually sharing, you know, some vital information like that, and you ignore it. Well, what kind of parent ignores their child who gives them this kind of information?
Exactly. I mean, they probably was raised that same way. You know, we always have to leave the door open. You know, with my children, I try to, you know, I leave the door open. And even like my son that was stealing from me and the nonsense, you know, I know what he was doing was wrong, but, you know, I still left enough to hear him out. And after I heard what he had to say, then I got on his behind. But, you know, we have to leave that door open where they could communicate with us, because, you know, if not, they hear from their friends who don't know much, and it just get crazy. Like this young man communicated to you, hey, listen, I'm seeing demons, I'm seeing ghosts. And I wonder, what did she tell him when he said that? You know, did you say, oh, get out of here, or stop doing that stuff, you know? And then you go buy him a gun. You know, it's like she wanted to get rid of him. Like, here's a gun. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here. Get rid of them ghosts.
You really don't know. You really don't know what's going on in the parents' head either. You're absolutely right. All right, Brother Al, you're a man. We're talking about the invitation to go up to some woman's house. Yeah, your first thought, you say no. And then you rethink this thing. You go, you know what? Might not be such a bad idea. And you spend the next 3 days in utter hell.
Yeah. Now, in that situation, right, it's a couple of things. Maybe one thing, he ain't had it all upstairs. Or he was just desperate and thinking, okay, we're going to have us a nice sexcapade. You know, I mean, because if I'm standing there and a woman come up to me, oh, call me to my house, I'm going to look at her like she's crazy. Come to you to your house? For what? Lady, you better go and get away from me. You know what I'm saying? That's my first thought. But, you know, so I'm thinking maybe he was a tad bit slow. And he thought about it. It was like, well, Derek, she invited me to her house. Maybe we can get something going on here. And you saw what you got when you got there. You know?
Yeah.
Now, did he deserve it? No.
Right.
Right. Now, do he deserve it? No. I don't think nobody deserves to be tortured. You know what I'm saying? These people took advantage. And like I said, I do believe they was watching him. And they said, you know what? He's a little slow. We might can get him. I believe that they was watching him. And then they made their move.
Yeah.
I don't care how pretty you are. I ain't going back to your house. This random little, hey, Al. Hey, how you doing? You caught me to my house? You lost your mind?
Too bad he didn't think that way, Brother Al. Too bad he didn't think that way. Oh,
yes,
right,
indeed.
Our last story. We're talking about the woman who threw her son in the back of the trunk because she was scared of getting COVID. Could you fit one of your kids in the back of the trunk?
Not at all. So, again, that tells me what side of the fence they are. Because outside of the fence, our kids ain't get to. Our kids might not ever let life talk back to us. And you tell them to get in the trunk, that's going to be their first time saying something back. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like Pastor Carol. You know, the kids get in the back and they doing things. And we threaten them. We ain't going to do it for real. I remember one time telling my kid, I'll pull over right here in the highway and leave y'all right here. Now, you know, doggone well, I ain't going to do that. I said that to my kids. They actually laughed. Because they knew what I knew, that I ain't going to stop on the highway and put them out on the highway. This person actually did it. Why couldn't you just, Lady Tamika said, why you couldn't just put a double mask on? I make sure I have a mask on, you know. But if you look at it, you already been around him before he tested positive.
Right.
So you're probably positive too.
Right.
You're probably positive now,
too. Oh, man. You know, again, these people, you know, the children have more to fear from their parents than any other individual out here. Woo.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Al, for joining us today. Oh, we got our relationship conversation, and they're talking about the things that kill a relationship. And I want to see if you all agree. They say trust issues kill a relationship. Pastor Carol, would you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and trust issues can stem from a whole lot of things. It can stem from, you know, being insecure. You know, if you're insecure with who you are, then that automatically manifests trust issues. Or someone could have stepped out, and you really haven't forgiven them. So now you have a trust issue. So, yeah, that could definitely destroy your relationship.
How do you handle that? How do you handle, what would be your remedy for trust issue? If either, let's go to the root that somebody stepped out on you. You know, how do you go forward? You want to go forward in this marriage. How do you go forward in this marriage?
Well, if you say that you have forgiven, then you have to really, really forgive and move on. And again, you know, these things are easier said than done, because a lot of times lurking in the back of your mind is the infidelity, or, you know, that you stepped out and, you know, is she at work right now? Is she really with her girlfriends? So you can't let, you know, that demon plant that seed in your mind that he or she is doing something wrong. And again, once again, it's easier said than done, but you have to be disciplined enough to kind of work it out. You know, sometimes you might need counseling, you know, so to get through it. You have to have a very, very, very open dialogue, open communication between the two of you, you know, so that you can get past that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. Oh, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about trust issues can kill a relationship. Do you agree?
I do agree, because if there's no trust, then it's like you're living one life and they're living another, but you're still maintained together because you don't trust what that person say of anything.
All righty. You know, how do you get past trust issues, you know, to keep the relationship going and productive?
Well, to get past it, besides what Pastor KL said, you have to have that open conversation with that person. So first of all, they got to know what's the problem. And then from there, they have to, in the relationship, you have to take time out to make that person feel more comfortable. So it's depending on what it is. So like he said, you know, like you could say when he was saying of them cheating. You know, so instead of getting mad because she, you know, needs you to, you know, just to check in, just to show her for a little while, you know, to gain that trust back, however that you want. If you want the relationship to work, however you need to gain that relationship back of that trust, then you have to do that. But if you get to the point where that you don't want to do that, it'll never work. So that's how you have to be
All
able
right.
to have that open relationship. Talk.
Okay. Ah, Brother Al, you know, trust issues, can that kill a relationship in your opinion?
Oh yeah, definitely, because, you know, you always got in the back of your mind, is this person, you know, not doing what they did before? And you know, especially when somebody hurt you, like, is this person gonna hurt me again? You know, so yeah, that definitely can kill your relationship, definitely.
Okay, and how do we move forward? What would be your suggestion when, you know, your trust issues are destroying your relationship, you know, and you don't want to give up, but you need to move
right.
forward. How do you move forward?
Well, if you decide that, hey, look, I'm going to stay here and work on getting past it, like what Pastor Kale said, you know, You have to forgive. You got to forgive it. I ain't saying forget, but you have to deeply in your heart forgive it. You and your mate got to have a discussion, you know. And if your mate is just as sorry, you know, he or she has to sit back and say, listen, what can I do to earn this trust back? You know, I it won't ever happen again, and I had to prove it. Like Pastor Kale said, it's hard. It's definitely hard. So you have to communicate. Hey, what can I do to earn your trust back? And you have to take it one day at a time. Pray together. Like we definitely got to hold. Come on, babe, we got to get on our knees and pray together. Cause we got to do this. And ask God to help. We all know God can do all things. Cause like I said, you know, there's different trust. Like I wouldn't trust Pastor Charlotte around a plate of hamburgers. You know what she's gonna do, right?
No.
So. You know, those are things that we have to think about. If I touch my plate of hamburgers,
If I put my plate of hamburgers down and I say I'm going to the restaurant and come back, I know Pastor Sean going to take my burger. So I have to take, you know, so things like that.
Well, I might take a bite. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Tamika, you know, what do we say about trust issues? Can that, you know, in your opinion, can that kill a relationship?
It most certainly can. Even with new relationships, you think that, oh, because you ended the relationship with the individual who hurt you, sometimes you'll cause pressure on the new relationship because the only thing that's in your mind is, you know, that you were hurt before. So how do I know that this person is not going to do the same thing? And then if anything remotely looks anywhere, somewhere similar to where you've been, you automatically relate it to where you've been, even though it may not be that. And you cause extra pressure for this new individual.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the lack of balance. You know, there's no balance in the relationship. You know, no balance in your life. Can that kill a relationship, Pastor Charlotte?
Yeah, I would say yes. Because in the balance, it can come with that you might be good in one area that I'm not, and I'm not in another area that I am when you're not. So it can balance in that sense of the relationship, and it all still goes back up to talking to know where your weak spot is and where's, you know, I might be strong, so we can be able to balance it out in that. And then there'll be something that we might have to work together to balance, you know. So, yes.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, what do you say? You know, can lack of balance destroy a relationship?
Oh, yes, definitely. A lack of balance can destroy the relationship because, again, having that balance is working together. You know, I can't be a go-getter and you're lazy sitting at home. Or I'm working, then coming home, doing dishes, cooking, and you're just sitting back. There's no balance. Like, we got to work together. You know, like Pastor Sean said, there'd be some things you're better than me at and me with you. Like, for instance, a woman going to a mechanic. When a mechanic, if your car is broke, something wrong with your car, and when the mechanic see that you're a woman, oh, he going in. And I had that situation with a young lady I was dating. I said, listen, I know you want your car fixed, but I can do it tomorrow, so don't go. She goes anyway, you know, and the guy charged her all this money for this little thing, and I'm looking at it, and I went online, pulled up. I said, this is the price of the pee. Oh, he got me. I'm going to curse. No, don't go curse my, your heart at it. I told you to wait. And you wanted to go on your own. So this is what happened when you don't listen. So there's definitely a balance. There's just certain things that, you know, even a contractor, when you're trying to get work done on your house, and a lot of women don't know a whole lot. And that contractor is coming, and, oh, it's a woman? Oh, I'm going to get her. All she's seeing is the work is getting done, and it's going to be done good. Where us as men, like, okay, wait a minute. It don't cost that much to put that paint on that wall. You know what I'm saying? So that's where, you know, we work together, you know, working together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tamika, you know, how could a lack of balance destroy a relationship?
It's kind of like going into anything without a plan or an ideal, you know. So you got one individual who has all the moves and all of the steps, and I'm just supposed to go willy-nilly. You make a step, and I didn't even know you were going to make the step, you know. And it's kind of like being part of a team. You've got a captain, and he's the only one that knows what the game plan is. So everybody's running and doing whatever they want to do, which causes chaos in the relationship because the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and everybody's just making a complete mess because we're not the one thing that's vital to our relationship, which is communication. That's the least of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, Pastor KL. Lack of balance. What can that do to a relationship? Will it keep it healthy?
No, it would kill it, and I think I'm gonna go another direction from a man's standpoint. You know, the man has been deemed to be the provider, so all he wants to do is work to provide for his family, not understanding that the relationship is not balanced because sometimes, you know, your wife just wants time, but all you see is I'm the provider. This is what I'm supposed to do. And not understanding the lack of the other side of the relationship. So in your mind, you're doing great, and you don't understand why she's complaining, why she's crying, why she's going through what she's going through, but there's no balance. Because yet, while you're a great provider, emotionally she's not stimulated. So that could be a problem.
All right. Ooh. Let's talk about, you know, they love to say opposites attract. But the lack of compatibility, can that destroy the relationship, Brother Al?
I would say yes. You know, we got to be compatible in something besides the bedroom and the other stuff. You know, we have to be compatible. You know, you may not... what happened is some people don't realize, like, you might not like some of, I might be into something different than you are, but you may say, okay, you know, I'm not really into that, but you know what, my man is doing it, let me support him about it, let me see what he's doing, to give that support, you know. But I think if you're just not compatible at all, you know, I know they say opposite attract, but I don't know about that one. You know, you two opposite, we gonna extract that ain't good. You know, a perfect example, like, I'm going to church and you don't. That's not gonna work. I mean, some people feel different, mm-hmm. but for me, and I'm into the Lord and you're not, that's not gonna work, because that's like my foot is halfway in and halfway out. Because I'm getting up in the morning going to church and you laying up chilling. And then being that I'm going to church, that's where the enemy gonna creep right in. As soon as I get home, you're going to start something. Because that's the enemy waiting for that. Wait till he come home from church. I got something for him. You know, so it ain't going to work.
Absolutely. Oh, Tamika, what are we talking about here? Lack of compatibility. Listen, they say opposites attract. Why would a lack of compatibility, you know, destroy anything?
Because it's so important, you know, and I think that's what causes a problem the majority of time. We're looking at what it looks like on the outside, what the face looks like, oh, the shape looks like, you know, and what we can do physically. But that's all that there is. You know, you get out of that moment and you're supposed to be talking, and there's no conversation because you don't have anything that aligns you together. You know, she likes one thing, he likes something entirely different. So what you've done is just made a physical mess. There's nothing spiritual, there's nothing emotional. She doesn't have a job, he has a job. I mean, you know, and she's not looking for a job. She wants you to take care of everything. It causes complete chaos from the beginning all the way through.
All right. Pastor KL, talking about lack of compatibility, how does that balance with opposites attract? Which one wins?
None of them win, to be honest with you. You know, I heard we had a conversation the other day, and I think Pastor Charlotte was talking about the weed with the seeds. Now, if you like weed with seeds, and I like my weed seedless, We have a problem. We can't go to the same man. we got to find a whole new man, a whole new supplier. So I mean, that could be a big problem. No, but seriously, you know, a lot of people say opposites attract. I mean, my wife is a Southern girl. I'm a city man, and you know, in that aspect, you know, it's cute. But even with that, you know, we have a lot of opposition because we're from two different worlds. So it takes a real commitment to be able to deal with something like that. And everybody's not strong enough for that. So, you know, you have to be very, very, very careful, you know, when you choose your mate. And, you know, you have to sit down and really realize, you know, what do they like? You know, you like chitlins? I don't like chitlins. You know, you like fried chicken? I don't like fried chicken. I mean, it's a lot. And these things sound simple, but some things can really turn you off to a relationship. You know, so, you know, you have to really invest. You have to really sit down and have these real hard conversations that people think, well, I'll just learn as I go. No. That can destroy the whole situation.
All right. And Pastor Charlene, do you feel that a lack of compatibility and things in common can destroy a relationship?
Yes, to an extent. Some things are, we could say, are the small things. But then let's talk about, like, some of the big things. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are your plans in life? Do you want children? Do you not want children? And a lot of times those big issues play a big, major part. So, therefore, once you get in, it'll start making it will make problems. I'll just use that word. It will make problems because I can't think of the word I want. And so, therefore, it will cause opposites attract. I've never thought of it in that sense. And but then, like Pastor Kaya, so there's some things you have to work at. You know, you have to be on one accord of where do we go? And it goes from before we get to this place of that conversation of them dates, of being able to be truthful and being able to put your cards on the table and, you know, and not later on you start seeing these red flags, you know, but you still being, you know, in it. No. If it doesn't work and it doesn't fit, then you have to move on. There's somebody else out there.
All righty. Oh, my due time crew, thank you so much for just helping our listeners to see some of the things that kill a relationship. And prayerfully, they don't walk into those things. And if they are here, give me some thoughts. Thank you so much, and I pray you have a blessed day.
Likewise.
You too. You too.
Love you guys. Well, everyone enjoy.
Y'all enjoy. Have a good day.
Thank you too. All right. We have come to the top of our Monday morning where we get the switch tip with Shantique. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Shantique.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. What you got?
Okay, today I got the switch with Shantice, where we're saying deuces to these streets by switching to our godly seat. Ended up changing our tagline real quick. So today we are up to switch tip 87, which is be God confident. Now I went from being very, very insecure, you know, for those of us who have been following the switch tips from the beginning. I gave, you know, bits and pieces of my insecurity backstory. But I went from being very, very, very insecure to now gaining a nice level of self-confidence. Now, when you're insecure, you're not confident or assured, and you're very uncertain and anxious about things. When you're self-confident, it's a feeling of trust in one's abilities, qualities, character, and judgment. And a few synonyms for self-confidence is your capacity, superiority, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that properly, and common sense, which we all know ain't so common. You either have it or you don't. Can't learn it, can't buy it. So, you know, if you're blessed to have common sense, then you really need to make sure you give your life to the Lord. But now when you get to the point where you become self-confident, the streets teach you to be self-confident by teaching you to be arrogant, teaching you to be prideful, and just teach you to just be straight up stink. Okay, especially when you're coming from the other extreme. You know, being insecure will take you to that extreme. And then being self-confident if you're not careful, will take you to the other extreme. So I came across Isaiah 30:15 message version, which reads, God, the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. So, of course, we know when you're in the streets, you ain't paying God no mind. It's all about you. It's about what you're able to do for yourself, especially if you're out here chasing that bag, especially if you're out here grinding, especially if you now think you're cute when you used to think you were ugly. It's just all about how you see yourself, what you're able to do. You're relying 100% on you. And God is saying, cut it out. Enough is enough. You weren't able to do that, but unless you stop that and start relying on me, there's no way you're going to have strength and there's no way you're going to have salvation. 1 Corinthians 4:7 message version reads, for who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? And even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have and everything you are shared gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? And real quick, I just want to make a shout-out to His Personal Lives, because our January slogan is God Owns It All. And as I was reading this a little while ago, that slogan came to mind. But you have to realize that you're competing against God. You know, you're not competing against yourself. I know if you listen to a lot of, like, motivational speakers and they put their videos and stuff up, a lot of times they tell you, you know, look in the mirror, and the person in the mirror is the one that you're, you know, competing against, and so on and so forth. And it's not a lie. It is. But ultimately, you're going against God. There's a verse that says that all good and perfect gifts come from Him. So if you're beautiful, that's a gift that came from Him. If you have talents, that's a gift. It came from Him. If you have the ability to have insight and help others and all the skills and things you possess and you know how to utilize those skills, that's perfect. That's a gift. It comes from Him. So you have to make sure that you're not taking credit for that. And God has, you know, blessed me with the ability. A lot of times I'm like, you know what? God, I was able to do that, and I was really good today. But it wouldn't have been good if you ain't give it to me, so I thank you. And I found myself doing that a lot more often, and I guess that's the way He keeps me, you know, humble in Him, and He checks me like, yeah, I got to keep you leveled in this progress from being insecure. Then I came across 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, message version, which reads, don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. And again, this does not mean that God does not want you to be secure in yourself. You know, I just got finished telling someone the other day that I'm learning and I'm realizing that, you know, when God says, give it all to me, when Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Yes, it is about, you know, dying more and more to ourselves, saying no to our flesh, and completely giving our everything to them. But all they want to do is take everything that we're giving to them, boil it all up, triple it, quadruple it, and hand it right back to us. So when we learn how to love them, the more we learn to love them, the more they teach us to learn ourselves. Because, again, they understand the streets that we live in today. We have to know what it is to value ourselves, but we can't value ourselves if we're not valuing Him first. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision to make the switch from relying solely on self to relying 100% on God and giving Him all of the credit, and watch how He then exalts you and shares that credit with you. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Be God confident. Amen. Thank you so much for that switch tip. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. What a morning. What a morning. What a way to shake the Monday morning blues. Well, it's come time for us to hold hands and hold hearts together as we are. Go before the Lord as a unit. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, saying thank you. Thank you for loving us enough
to allow us to see another beautiful day in you, dear God. A day that was ushered in with brand new tender mercies. A day that was ushered in with brand new hope. A day of joy, thanksgiving, and gratefulness. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you just continue to bless our lives as the days go on. You continue to awaken us and give us just new pointers as you invest in us each and every day, God. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to get it right. We give you thanks, God, for another opportunity to hear from you. Because as long as we are in the grave, God, there's no more communication. Your word says, who will praise you from the grave? So, God, we give you thanks and we lift your name on high today. Just because you are the great I am. Just because you could have shut it down, but you didn't. And we're grateful to you this morning that not only are we here, but we're in our right frame of mind, God. Well, there were so many things, the Heavenly Father, that could have just driven you crazy. So many things that we had come across our path that could have just taken us out of here mentally and emotionally. But because you were there, because your son was there, we had that opportunity just to stay intact. And it's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we've earned. But again, it's because of your mercy and your grace, God, that you continually see the things that we need. And you continually just give and give and give. How can we say thank you, God, for all the pointers we got today? Even in the news, when we hear about the parenting that was so negligent, we understand how to be a better parent. When we hear the bad decision of the invitation that was initially denied and rejected, but then actually he went for it. You teach us how to make better decisions. Lord, for the times when we want to hurt our children, and that's a for real statement, when we really could lose it, do something risky, toxic, dangerous, and just cut it off because we're tired, because we're finished, because we're through, because we reached the end of our rope and we can't do it no more. But just step in every time. We say thank you, dear God, for just putting a word in each and every one of our mouths this morning, that the listening got turned up on the opposite side. We thank you. We thank you, like I always say, God, for paying the bills. That if it had not been for you, we would not even be able to tune in this morning. Thank you, God, for the willingness and the obedience that we all have experienced today, whether we were ministering or whether we were just a hearer. And we pray that we are all doers at the end of the day and giving you thanks for giving us another opportunity where we have taken ourselves off the list. But because your son died for such a time as this, we can continue to move forward. We can continue to focus on you, that we had another opportunity to make the right decision and correct our wrongs. Thank you, God. Glory and honor belongs to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, the more and more I listen to these news stories, the more and more I read these news stories, the more I realize how blessed we are. You know, Pastor KL and Brother Al, you know, they gave instances of when we were driving the children around and, you know, we made certain threats and, you know, knowing that we wouldn't do it, but just trying to they're trying to scare tactic, you know, threatening our kids. You know, I'm going to do this if you don't stop. God stepping in is a big thing. Because we were just saying it. But how many people, and we're reading this more and more every day, how many people are actually carrying out the things that they say? And it's not us. How many times have we said the same thing other people say who carry it out, but we did not carry it out? How many times we may have wanted to carry certain things out? But there, for the grace of God, because Jesus stepped in, we were not on that side of the fence. When, you know, I remember Elder Knight teacher saying, you know, she met this guy, and she said that she talked about it openly. She met this guy on a train. She said she was easy. And she said she went to his house and no one ever knew she was there. How many times have we made those type of decisions and it could have turned out any other way? They could have locked us up, tortured us, killed us, and we are still here in our right frame of mind because God stepped in. You know, it's an amazing experience to listen to these news stories, to have these conversations with the crew or our guests, and see how many times God stepped in. How many times has God stepped in our former life that we are blessed enough to be able to say, my former life? The things I used to do, I said it last night, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to say, I say them no more. The bad decisions, the toxic decisions, and my way of thinking and my frame of mind, I would dare to do those things. But while we were living sinfully, when we weren't even thinking about God, when God wasn't even a consideration, God was there for us. How many times has he said, you know what? It's all right. I'm just going to do this thing one more time. One more time. And that one more time gave us that opportunity to step on this side of the fence. That had God not said, okay, one more time, one more time. We didn't know, but he did. How grateful are you today? How grateful are you that you said, you know what? I haven't accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, but it's about that time. Because that could have been me. That story, any one of those three stories could have been me. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? But again, like I asked last night, you just still messing around. You holding on to something you're afraid to let go of, somebody that you just can't let go of, a place that you just can't stop going to, calling you, and God is knocking on your door, and God is calling you, and God is knocking on your door. A decision right now that God is not going to have to knock on my door anymore, that I'm going to answer him today because he's been so gracious to me that he has allowed me to step on this side of the fence. That he did not have to do it, but he did. And I'm going to tell somebody that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm going to finally make that step right into the arms of God, who's always been standing right there just waiting for me ever. So that when man got tired of my procrastination, when man walked off, when man got sick and tired of me, when man was tired of hearing me say, I'm going to do it, and I didn't, that they walked off. That one more time, God actually answered me. And he said, okay. And that was my last time. This is going to be my last time. Who's saying that today? Who's saying I'm stepping over that line? I'm stepping across that line. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's about that time. Time has gone past. God has been merciful. Today's the day. Today's the day. Well, as I said last night, come on in the room. We'd love to have you. God would love to have you. God's family would love to have you. You know, God says, I don't want to see anyone perish. You are all my creatures. I love you all. And I don't want to see anyone burn. But at the end of the day, there will still be those who will still say no. There will still be those who reject him. There will still be those who want to err on the side of flesh and their own spirit. Please don't let that be you. Come on. Let's be on this side of the fence where there's peace beyond understanding, where there's joy unspeakable. Love everlasting, where there's a fountain filled with blood for my sake. God is right there holding my hand. He walks with me, talks with me, and he tells me, oh, there's nothing like it. I don't care how drunk you may have gotten. I don't care how high you may have gotten. I don't care what kind of experience you have. There is nothing like knowing and choosing the Lord. Nothing like knowing and choosing the Lord. Knowing that God's got you. You will stumble at times, but God has got you. Come on this side of the fence. Make no mistake about it. It's the best decision that you'll ever make. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for joining me and helping all of us to shake that Monday morning blues. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and being part of our morning. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow, God spares rest. Let's talk about it Tuesday, Church Folk Day. You.